We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay.
I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome into another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. We are back fully staffed. We got me, Kevin, along with Pops, LJ, and Uncle Tony. What's going on, guys?
What up?
What's up? Hey.
I don't know if the people know this, Pops, and we'll get into it a little more later, but he's just been out gallivanting all over the place, just concerts here and there. I believe he might have been... I don't know if you saw, but I think you were there with LeBron James at the opening of the Sphere this weekend in Las Vegas. I don't know if you bumped shoulders with LeBron or not.
I didn't bump shoulders with LeBron, but obviously.
He probably wouldn't stand out in a building with you. Y'all can
obviously do the pod with or without me.
Without you. Well, so for those out there, the Sphere is the crazy new venue in Las Vegas. We're going to get a little recap from Pops later on.
Didn't
in the podcast,
just go to the Sphere either, but.
I didn't get an invite.
Did y'all? No, get an none invite? Of us got an invite. None no, we just got told he was going. And then Tony, you want to know what he did tell us afterward? F your Christmas gifts. So,
sorry. Merry Christmas to me.
So we'll get an update on how awesome his trips were and how bad our Christmas gifts are going to be. But we got to get into
some football. I'll tell you that. Y'all had a good Christmas.
We got to get into some football. And LJ, do we start with a great comeback win for the Broncos?
That was the worst football game in the history of football games. Let's not even look. That was two really, really, really bad defenses and two looking decent offenses. But I think the Bears looked a lot better being against the Broncos than they've looked against anybody else in the world. And I mean, a lot better. Like Justin Fields looked like a Pro Bowl.
He looked like he could be that guy again. Yeah.
Pro Bowl might be a little strong, wouldn't it?
I mean, that game looked pretty good. But,
But as LJ alluded to, I don't know if we need to spend a ton of time on the Broncos Bears game, except for Tony. I don't know if you saw this. The Bears currently, if the season ended right now, they own the first and second overall pick in the NFL draft. So the rebuild season is on in Chicago.
Justin did have a good day, didn't he?
Wow. Yeah, he did. It was the week of the quarterback, if we're going to be honest, except unless your name is Mahomes, oddly enough. Who didn't have a bad game, but he threw more picks than you would have liked. But
I want to start with, ever since I called this man out in week one and said I wasn't sure about this team and he's a little too reckless, Josh Allen and the Bills might be playing the best football I've seen them play for this three game. I mean, they're just blowing teams out. And one of them was the Miami Dolphins, who we were just talking about, could, at least in the category of best teams in the NFL, it feels like, at least in the AFC, I'll just go AFC, it's Bills or the class of the conference and then everyone else underneath. And what'd you think watching that game, L?
I didn't get to watch the game, but absolutely dominant. Yeah. Allen's playing great. Their defense is playing. I mean, to hold Miami to 20, I can't imagine what that feels like.
That was the first 6 minutes of the first quarter for the Broncos.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I like the Bills. I mean, the only other team up there with them would be the Chiefs who stumbled this week. So, I do like the Bills for the AFC right now. I mean, I wouldn't worry too much about the Chiefs. They have a one game every October. So, but yeah, the Bills look great for sure.
Tony, do you think, I mean, well, the defense is going to lose Tre'Darius White or Tre'Davious White. I can't remember. He tore his Achilles.
So he's that guy. Yeah, they've lost.
He's him. Done. They are getting Von Miller back, I think, this week. So they lose one, they will get one. But the defense looks to be playing well. And I mean, I don't know if we're due for a Josh Allen game coming up, but I mean, right now, I feel like just watching personally, this is the best version of Josh Allen. He's dinking when he needs to and checking down, but still every now and then, like, he's doing those plays where you're like, oh, Josh. Oh, okay. That's a play only you can make. Maybe you and Patrick Mahomes are the only ones that can make that. What'd you think watching that one?
Well, so I'm going to leave with an IT question. I'd like to see where Josh Allen's rush yards are this year compared to the last 2 years, because what seems to me the difference is that Bills have got a running game. James Cook is running well. Latavius Murray is actually making some tough yards. And so they've got a running game, and I don't think they're depending upon Josh Allen to make the big rush. So that's what I've observed to me, it looks like, these first few weeks. But I will say this. Miami is still a really good team. They got caught. You can't score 70 points 1 week and come into the next week and expect to have that kind of success. And there was just a couple of plays that turned that. When Buffalo goes to play Miami at Miami, I suspect that Miami will probably be a favorite and probably will win that game. But I think that Buffalo probably has the better balanced offense right now because of the running game. And I say that with Devon Achan. Or Achan, however you say it.
Achan, really, I think is Achan. How he wants.
I've heard really Devon Achan is what I've heard he prefers.
I've heard so much. I'm more confused now that people have clarified it than I was before.
He's coming into his own, and I think we put the Jonathan Taylor rumors to bed with that. So, but Buffalo looks pretty good. Tre'Davious White losing him is a big blow them, especially when they get into the playoffs. We'll see. I suspect they should be making a trade midseason for a veteran.
The rumor mill out there, not for the Bills necessarily, but there is a corner who's out there supposing the rumor mill, and that's if the Broncos would be willing to part ways with Pat Surtain. I don't know if they will or not, because I think he's a stud corner, and those guys don't come open very often at his age, but you could get a lot for him if they were willing to move him.
Second year in a row that they've lost this guy, and so I think that the Bills, and so they're going to – I think we're going to see that. We're going to see that move.
IT's got an answer for you, by the way. He's got he's got about 15 less rushing yards per game than he had the last 2 years each. So that's pretty notable.
It doesn't feel like we're getting as many of the kind of reckless – not even reckless as fumble, but just like, I don't really need my quarterback taking that kind of 6-yard run in week 4 type of carries. And – Pops, I think I like where Tony went with that. I'm not leaving this game going, oh, maybe I was wrong on the Dolphins. I kind of think the score one is just a little more lopsided than it actually felt watching. I think it just got away from them.
Yeah.
The Bills do look really good, but I thought you score 70 points the week before. All week, everyone's talking about how the Dolphins are the best team in the NFL. So the Bills are just hearing how great the Dolphins are, even though the Bills just beat two teams by like a combined points of like 80-14. So there was easy bulletin board material. Not that the Dolphins gave it to him, but it's hard to be as amped up as the Bills are when you just had the best performance maybe ever. I mean, you still feel fine with the Dolphins, Pops?
Oh, yeah, I do still feel fine with the Dolphins. And you talking about the Bills being amped up, what happened with Dallas last week with Arizona? You know, I think it might have been one of those. Now, Arizona, certainly not Buffalo. Now,
overlooked Buffalo.
No, they didn't overlook Buffalo, but I think they probably were primed for a little letdown. One little quick thing, and I don't know that this is true, but just looking at the points for and the points against for the teams, it looks like Buffalo and Dallas may be in line for the most. And interestingly, the Bills are plus 84 when you do points scored and points against. Dallas is plus 83. So they're very, very close. Now, Dallas runs into a hell of a team this weekend, by the way.
Oh, game of the week.
Game of the week, must watch TV. Is it
the Niners? Yeah.
Can't wait. Yeah. Sunday night TV. Yeah,
that's going to be a real
game. Your Niners.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I wanted to add, since we brought up Von Miller and Achan, I saw some really good Texas football trash talk. Von Miller on Bills linebacker Terrell Bernard. He's a real intelligent person, and you don't often see that from guys from Baylor.
I really like Von Miller.
I just, he's just such like a likable guy.
Yeah. Except for that damn cowboy guy. Okay, yeah.
Since we brought up Cowboys, a blowout win again, but I'm kind of yet another win pops. We're like, yes, it's a great win, but I'm like, the wheels just fell off for the Patriots. And I think there is a lot to say the Cowboys play, like Cowboys caused some of that, but I think it was so bad for the Patriots. Like Mac Jones, I don't know if he's that bad, but at one point in the game, he looked absolutely lost. I don't know what to take from. I do think the Cowboys are contenders in the NFC, but I'm not like going the same way I'm talking about the Bills right now with them. What are you coming away with that?
Well, as you know, and we'll get to, I didn't get to watch a lot of football this weekend while I was gallivanting around. I listened to a bit of the Cowboys game driving back from Dallas. And it, you know, I think what it made me think of is there was a time, and I know you guys aren't old enough to remember, but Tony will. I mean, Tom Landry was a hell of a coach. I mean, he really, truly was. And there was a point where the game had passed him by. It just had, and it was time for him to move on.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Where's he going, El?
Well, what I'm saying is the Cowboys beat a Bill Belichick coach team worse than anybody, if I'm not mistaken, has anybody ever
the worst loss he's ever had.
And that's including the Browns, I believe.
Yeah, it's just in his coaching career, not
his coaching career.
Patriots, or
so yeah, and he was not quite the coach at the Browns that he is now. But I just think it's possible that Tom Brady had a lot to do with a lot of those wins. And I'm not Belichick's a great coach, Hall of Fame, first round, but it is possible that the game is beginning to pass him by, and that he may not be able to relate to the younger players as well as he did at one time. That's my thought.
Tony, what you got to that?
Yeah. Two words, speed kills.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dallas is the faster team. And that's Dallas where Bill Belichick. And to Lyft's point, I wanted to say credit, but I really don't like to give Lyft credit a lot. Belichick doesn't play with speed, right? He's always been smarter. He's been able to do things with athletes that were a little bit below the par, right? Yeah. But man, the athletes now are just phenomenal, and speed kills. And that you saw that from Dallas this weekend. Absolutely.
Well, and with Belichick, like, I still think, like, if you get him in a room, he knows football. Like, I'm not saying he just lost football, but it just, one, whatever they did with their coordinators last year, where Matt Patricia is like OC, and I'm not saying Belichick's son's not necessarily a good defensive coordinator, but it does kind of go, oh, you're just hiring from within. And then
you think he's like Adam Sandlering it? You think he's like just hanging out with his friends in Hawaii sort of thing?
Well, I mean, tell me
hiring
the last
from within and hiring
move.
Two of your sons is kind of, I don't know. They call that nepotism.
What's the last big offensive move that's really paid off great for them? I mean, Ramondre was, I guess, a good pick, but Mac Jones doesn't look great. They brought in a bunch of tight ends. They brought Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith's no longer there. Hunter Henry's not bad.
Hunter Henry looks good, but
yeah,
but he's been good.
I think what happens is they've missed on a lot of draft picks and signings, and that starts adding up. Especially like Tony's saying, when you play a fast, talented team, sometimes as an Arkansas fan, I understand this. Sometimes when the other team's just that much more talented than you, it don't matter how smart you are. You know, sometimes they're just faster and stronger and they're deeper. And so I don't know. I'm not saying he's done, but it feels like we're on the latter end of his career. And I kind of think Mac Jones ain't got it. He had a couple plays, like the pick six that Dallas had. The like two plays before that, he threw a reckless pass across the field, and somehow it got completed. And that's one of those where you should go, "Whoo! I got away with one. Thank God." But he does the same pass like a play later, and that's when Harmon or Hammond picked it off and took it six. And from that point on, he just looked like he forgot how to play football. I don't know if Mac Jones has.
Just to temper a little bit, though, their other two losses are the Eagles by 5 and the Dolphins by 7. And I think these are two teams that we're going to be talking about at the end of the year. So it's not like they're just like getting trashed by, you know, the Broncos.
They
and
the
did Bears
just
every
lose,
week.
Though. They lost Judon for the year, or maybe the year, because he tore his bicep. And then Christian Gonzalez, the really good corner they drafted, he's out for the year with the torn labrum. So two key defensive players just got out.
I do
year,
think
so it's tough
though to Pop saying that he's like guaranteed Hall of Fame. I don't know if he can't put together a great season without Tom Brady, then I don't know that looks
well. Great, he's guaranteed Hall of Fame. Well,
he is, but I don't know that he should be. Like if all your good years are with one player.
Whoa! That now we're getting spicy. This is more spicy than pasta.
If all saying, your good years are with one player, then I think that deserves some consideration. Honestly.
So are you saying, LJ? This is good. So you saying Joe Lombardi is not one of the greatest coaches because all his wins came with Bart Starr?
Well, it'd be Vince Lombardi, wouldn't it?
But yeah, old Joe. So Vince, yeah. Joe, we could let Joe go.
I don't know about old Joe.
Vince Lombardi. So you saying Vince?
I'm saying I'd have to look at the stats on that. Like, did he have any years without him? You know, and how did those look? I'm honest. That's a little older than me. I don't know if you're aware of that.
so long ago, Tony forgot his name.
LJ, to your point. Okay, so you could say Bill Walsh was one of the greatest because he did that with arguably the greatest quarterback ever.
And then did it with some scrub, right?
So Joe Montana and Steve Young, pretty good.
Yeah.
Both of them Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
But they were different. Are you saying Jimmy Johnson only did it with Troy Aikman? So is Jimmy Johnson not that good of a coach?
Well, I mean,
Miami.
I would consider it at the very least. Because I think like there is something to like the coach that always has a good quarterback somehow. I think that is good coaching or good scouting or something. There's something great going on there. And the coach that always has one player, and most of them don't have the careers that they, you know, they have like 12 years with one guy or whatever, and then they win more Super Bowls than you can imagine, and then that guy leaves and then they fall off. Like, this is a pretty rare situation, right? But yeah. I think that does deserve some consideration. Both of them have been in like for the past, and Brady's did his thing and then left. Both of them for years after he left New England were in the, like, let me prove that I didn't need this guy. And Brady looks a lot better in hindsight there to me. I
think he won that battle.
Yeah.
Well,
it does seem like Brady won the divorce for sure.
That particular divorce.
he lost the second one. So I will say this. I made this sum for the next podcast because I think I'd like to see this research. Is great coaches that are considered great, have they always been with one particular?
I think that's a great question. We should definitely. That's going to take some time for IT to really
turn through. Because I just off the top of my head, you had a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have, like you mentioned, Walsh. He had two different quarterbacks. Where then you start to go a little bit like, yeah, maybe he just had two great quarterbacks. But then you kind of go, well, the common denominator, like he helped build a system that worked perfectly for two
Shanahan,
great quarterbacks.
Shanahan, great coach until John Elway retired.
I would say, I know he doesn't have the rings of like some of these guys, but like Andy Reid had very successful.
Well, Andy Reid is like clearly, there's no question Andy Reid is one of the best coaches ever. And I think I would have said the same about Belichick a couple of years, and I think I still say the same. I'm being a little bit spicy on purpose, but Andy Reid, I think, has cemented a spot above Belichick right now, unless things change in the end of their career to me.
I'd agree with that. Okay. I put it to you, Greg, a great coach needs a great quarterback, and I wait to see the answer.
Yeah,
If you go look down the list of great coaches, you're going to see that they had a really good quarterback for a big.
Well, but that's also kind of the thing, right? Because like a wide receiver always has a great quarterback too, right? Like, but that's because
that sounds like a chicken in the egg kind of.
Right,
argument.
Exactly. It's really hard to detect, and so that's why Belichick's situation is so interesting to me, is because he's the person now without his. Would he be the chicken or the egg? I don't know, but he doesn't have his other version. With him, so we can kind of see him exposed a little bit more than you would see. Shanahan maybe is an example. Mike Shanahan, although he did do pretty well with Plummer, right? They worked together for a little bit. But regardless, like an Andy Reid or a Walsh is another example or a great example of somebody that absolutely had somebody crush it in different eras with different players. So
it makes John Harbaugh the greatest coach ever because he won with Trent Dilfer. So let's move on.
So Tony, what's another game or win? Something stuck out. It can be a win or a loss, but what's a game that you want to discuss?
Oh, from last week?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Three weeks ago.
I was just thinking about
I got a question if y'all want to
go ahead, Liv. Ask a question.
Cincinnati, Tennessee. What the hell is up with Joe Burrow? Is he I mean,
he's not right.
And by the way, Cincinnati, where did I see that? They are favored in a game this week. Arizona is a home. Well, it's Arizona, but they're a home dog. Yeah. Okay, so it's Arizona, but
you just solved your own.
Well, but still, Cincinnati, what have they shown you? What has Cincinnati shown anybody that they'd be favored by three on the road? I haven't seen it. And what happened in that game? I mean, Burrow can't move is what I'm seeing, is what I'm hearing. And I know, Tony, you're watching Burrow. So
they just totally, and I want to hear Tony's thoughts on that, but they just totally fumbled the situation with Joe Burrow. He should have sat 2 to 4 weeks to get healthy. They didn't. And now they're in a hole and they can't really sit him. And he's just not right. I mean, he doesn't look like Joe Burrow. And I'm not like worried about his career per se, but they might have wasted a year. And like we've talked about before, the window always feels like it's bigger than it is. And that, I mean, what do you think watching Cincinnati, Tone?
So I got my other thing ready, but, Cincinnati, there is a lot of problems. And so they went into this year thinking this is it because they've got money issues with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow. But man, he's, even though he hadn't been sacked that much, he is pressured all the time. LJ, sorry for this. Mm-hmm. I was watching him throw, and he reminded me of Peyton Manning's last year.
Oh, ouch, yeah.
Where all of a sudden, he had the yips. He couldn't get the ball downfield. Every throw he made this weekend, it was intermediate to short. They threw downfield one time. And so it's either his calf really is bad and he can't throw the ball long, or there's something else wrong. And so it is, I think it is a significant, it is time to have a significant question about the Cincinnati Bengals and whether they, if they lose this weekend, which I'm with Liff, I'm not sure they should be favored, but they are because T. Higgins.
I mean, over the last 2 weeks, Arizona has looked better.
They look frisky to me.
I'll be honest with you. I'm about to start Josh Dobbs over Joe Burrow if things work out for me in the waiver process, but that's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy, and so I'm really concerned that there's truly something wrong. And I don't know if you guys saw it. If you weren't watching the game, you probably didn't. But there was a shot of Joe Burrow sitting on the bench, and he was flexing his throwing elbow. All right, not his. He was going back and forth with his elbow like,
what's he got wrong? A hit on it, didn't he? I think he got a hit on it. What's wrong
with this? And so I'll be honest with you, same thing Brock Purdy did last year when that ulnar nerve, that he had his injury. I'm kind of wondering if there's something else going on with Joe Burrow, but that's just me. But boy, it's bad.
Can I just let's travel through time real quick to 2022. So the Bengals start out the season losing to Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers, Cooper Rush and the Cowboys, squeak it out against the Jets, and then lose to Teddy Bridgewater and the Dolphins. That was their first four games. They were not especially good early in the year. I would say hold on a little bit longer. They'll return to form. The Bengals are an explosive team, but they're an emotional team, and right now they're on a low. That's all it is.
Hate when he's right.
I mean, I think, but the Bengals had a positive point differential through five games last season. Through four games this season, the Bengals have a negative point differential of 45 points.
But it's again, not like they're just the quarterbacks that they played against were Trubisky, Cooper,
including
Rush.
Two games where they did not score a single touchdown.
That's a good point.
They're the only team in the NFL that has not gotten 1,000 total yards yet on offense. Every other team has gotten 1,000 or more, and they have 944. Joe Burrow, and then I think where Tony's getting to a point, I think most of it's his calf. It's planting. It's a lot of that. But then once you start compensating, then you overcompensate somewhere else. Maybe you get – now I think he's just overthinking it. And he's a very – that's why we compared him to Tom Brady. He's a very instinctual. He sees the game really well, and he's very accurate. But when all of a sudden you have to start thinking, what makes him good is he doesn't even think. He processes so fast that he's not even really having to pause. And now I think he's going, can I make that throw to Chase? I don't know if I can do that anymore. And now you think too long.
It's fair.
Last comment on this Bengals game. So did y'all hear the Ja'Marr Chase quote?
Tell me again. Yeah.
that he's always,
I'm always open.
He's open. I'm always fucking open.
I think it's what he said. Yes.
And he said, sorry for my language, but he's like, I'm fucking open.
But you know, he was dead serious. So if he plays poker, he's really good. Cause he looked straight up and said, I'm open. I'm always fucking open. Pardon my language. But I'm like, he's pissed.
Because I think the question was,
I want a receiver like that.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
that.
And also, with Joe Burrow, you can always throw it up.
If Joe Burrow's a little hampered, does it make you run your routes different? Do you not feel like you're able to get separation? And that was his response was, I'm always fucking open. Like, don't bring that to me. Let's see. You know, a game I was really interested in was the Rams-Colts. The Rams are just, I got to give a lot of credit to Stafford and McVay because they just gutted that roster and are starting by far the youngest team in the NFL. And the defense looks solid. Mm-hmm. We've talked at length with Puka Nacua, who I think now has broken the four-game record for rookie on catches and yards, beating Anquan Boldin's 2003 numbers.
It's good company.
And they're about to get Cooper Kupp back. Yep. I mean, they're a frisky playoff team now. I thought they were just maybe going to be a team that can cover and win you some money betting-wise, but they're trying to win games. And they're tough. And I also think the Colts are a pretty tough team.
I agree with all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
You think the Colts, you think if you had to say right now, do the Rams make the playoffs?
We're 2-2. That's too early.
And Stafford did, I think, he's dealing with a bit of an injury now. I don't know. I think it was a hip or something.
Let's see what happens with the Commanders. The Vikings are like falling off the map. They got their win this week. But if that happens, then yeah, I think the Rams will be in the conversation. But there's two teams. There's probably three NFC East teams that make the playoffs.
I think
that's going to be tough for them.
Worth noting, the Rams seem to have like a middle of the road tough schedule for the next few weeks, but they end the season Ravens, but then Commanders, Saints, Giants. And then they end with Niners. But they've got some pretty long streaks of teams that they're pretty damn beatable. So I think they stand a real shot at it. But their schedule is basically the same as everybody else in their division. So they'd have to get a wild card spot for sure. But
yeah.
So hey, here's the game I thought was interesting. And real quick, I was very impressed with the Houston Texans this weekend.
Yeah.
So
beat up a Mike Tomlin. And Tomlin said after, they were just more physical than us and they played better. And it's true. And that doesn't usually a Tomlin team, they might get beat, but they play hard. And it just looked like the D'Amico Ryans has those guys playing really hard. And Stroud looks really
good.
Stroud
looks good. And that Nico Collins looks really good.
That's true as well.
Tank Dell. I mean,
yeah, they've got a team. So I think this podcast several months ago may have said, don't overlook CJ Stroud. And I think the Carolina Panthers at some point may be regretting.
Well, I remember myself, I thought I couldn't understand. I was like, I don't see why there's a big argument between Stroud and Bryce Young. I thought Bryce Young was head and shoulders better. And I'm getting close. I mean, it's still very early in Bryce Young's career. But I'm getting close being like, wow, I messed that up. Because Stroud looks like you got a guy. Like, I feel like they got a starting quarterback. And Bryce Young, I think, will get it figured out. Yeah. I'm not that worried, but
Yeah. I'm not saying the Texans are playoff contenders, but let's just say
they might.
That was a quality win at home against the Steelers, a Steelers team that needed to win, a Steelers team that has some players, still a quality win for the Texans.
How worried should the Steelers be, Tony? I mean, Pickett does not look like what everyone thought he might be, the hype in the preseason.
No, I think they're fine. They're in a tough division. We talk about that. It's tough. They've got to have Pickett. I mean, you're not going to win a lot of games with Mitch Trubisky.
Pickett's not playing that well. And I know a lot of criticism is going to the offense coordinator, Matt Canada, who has not had a big amount of success. And Mike Tomlin says, we're not changing anything as of right now. So
now, wait a minute. I heard Tomlin go, they said, are you going to change something? He's like, hell yeah, we're going to change something. The product we just put on the field was bad. We're going to make some changes.
Yes, but he clarified there's no change in the coordinators or play calling right now.
Okay. Well, but
– so, or like play calling duties, that is.
I bet Tomlin's lighting into somebody's ass this week.
But that's also a very Tomlin thing to go, those conversations – that's why we like Tomlin so much. Those conversations aren't in the media. He has those behind closed doors because he's one of the best to do it. I just wonder, and It's a funny story I heard when I was – it was back when Danny Cannell was on Russillo and Cannell. And he told a story one time. Danny Cannell, Florida State, and then played while on the pro, mostly a backup quarterback. But he said he had a preseason, I think it was when he was with the Giants, where he lit it up for a game. He just looked amazing. It was a great game. And he ended up, like, they put him as a starter for the next year. And he said his career was lasted 2 years longer than it should have, because in this preseason game, they played the most basic coverage ever and just kept running the same basic coverage. So he tore it up. He's like, it was nowhere near a regular season game. Like, they weren't disguising anything. Mm-hmm. So it was easy for me. And I almost wonder if that's, if we, it's possible we got a little tricked with Kenny, because Kenny Pickett looked fantastic in the preseason and he does not look that good right now. Now it's 4 weeks in and he might get it figured out and there's talent on him, but I kind of worry the Steelers might still be in the quarterback market when they were hoping they had a guy, but
he's not getting much help out of the running game, is he? I mean, Najee Harris is like taking the biggest fall from grace. I mean, he was really touted and I think, is this his third year? I think so.
Yeah,
you know, he had a pretty decent rookie year. Came in really acclaimed, and now,
yeah,
I mean, well, he just doesn't look like the same player.
Overvalued his, because fantasy football will do this. I think we overvalued what he was because he put up a big fantasy year, but it's because the guy who LJ tried to tell everybody couldn't play quarterback any longer, Big Ben Roethlisberger, was just giving him 10 catches a game because he was going, and just giving him, and it might be a 5 yard catch, but as you saw, anybody who had Alvin Kamara this past week in PPR, you don't have to get a lot of yards. You get a lot of catches and you'll be all right.
What do you have? 13 catches for 33 yards.
Historic.
Good Lord.
It was a historic weekend.
Do you know the stat on that, Tony?
13 for 33.
Yeah.
It's historically low. If you go back, in all time, anybody who's had 13 catches, the lowest yards anyone's ever had is like 78.
Wow.
So not only was it was low, it was like astoundingly lower than the other guy to do it. Like, it's crazy. I don't think anyone's ever had 10 catches and been below 50, let alone 13.
Never to be done again.
Yeah, that'll never happen again.
I don't see how you top that.
You'd have to try.
Because if someone's not getting yards, you quit throwing to them. But Derek Carr should not have played, I guess. I don't think he could throw the ball.
He shouldn't have.
But as someone who had Alvin Kamara and he was the high point scorer for this week, we'll be okay with it. Me and Pops are not complaining. A team I want to talk about because, and I think we have a little bit, one we talked about just because they're a very likable team, likable head coach, likable roster. And I think they made a statement that was on Thursday night, but the Lions-Packers game, the Lions kind of made a statement that they are the team to beat in the NFC North to me. I mean, they look
reasonable.
Fierce on defense. Goff is a very competent quarterback. I'm not saying he's some stud, but you can win with Goff. They got good receivers. And, oh, by the way, they're bringing back Jameson Williams now because the suspension rules changed. So he was a top 11 receiver, so it should be a talented guy. Laporta looks good. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, Tony, how good are the Lions? Are the Lions Super Bowl contenders in the NFC?
Well, that's going a long ways because I don't know that.
That might be stretching a little, but they're fringe. Yeah. They're close.
Take out week one because they had such adrenaline going in against Kansas City as the Super Bowl champion. I think that was a that was a trap game for KC. But the
week
Lions
one's
are good.
A trap game though. I mean, you're KC, good environment, and they win.
I think the Lions are a contender for their division. I think they'll win that division. Probably, unless Minnesota figures something out. But I don't know that I would say that they could beat San Francisco or Dallas or Philadelphia at this point in time. I'd like to see one of those games, but they're good. I think they're a definite playoff team, but I don't see them as Super Bowl contenders.
I want to say something to what you just said, and we might get to this. Are we worried about Kansas City? And Tony, I will say, if the first game of the season is a trap game for your team, I'm worried about your team. You know what I'm saying?
If we're going to talk about that, I'm a little worried for Kansas City. I think
let's go there.
Kansas City's identity, I know Prestige Worldwide will be here, and I've got some stuff from him, but their identity, they need to find what's going on offensively for them.
Agreed.
Yeah. The most important thing in Kansas City is up in the press booths right now.
I mean, it is. I don't think it is. They're letting that go, and that's great for sales and stuff. But down on the field, Patrick Mahomes is like, fucking A, somebody else take pressure off of me. Thank God I don't have to deal with this. So now Kelsey's got it. But they've got to figure out their run game was non-existent. Now, Jets are good at the run, but they've got to figure out Isaiah Pacheco. Is he going to be the guy? Because right now, it doesn't look like it. They've got to figure that out. And they don't have an alpha wide receiver. And so that's hurting them right now. And I think that's where Kansas City, they should be a little worried. They've got to figure that out. Now, LJ, I'll say this.
Yeah.
You said it about the Bengals. It's early. They're still a winning record. They're going to get it figured out. But they're not the Kansas City team of the last 5 years.
I think I agree with you. I think what I would add is we talked about are the Lions potential for Super Bowl. Only if the playoff games are all played on Thursdays. They're absolutely dominant on Thursdays. But so that might be another reason I let it go for the Chiefs a little bit. But I think the Chiefs will figure it out. I mean, they've got who we were just talking about, maybe the greatest coach to ever grace the NFL. Who knows? They've got obvious talent all over the field. They need to figure out a running game. Their defense is, like we talked about last week, not a bunch of playmakers. They're expecting their team to put up some decent points, and they haven't put up as many points as they need to. So I'm not terribly worried about them, but they definitely, and Kevin's where's the panic button. They probably ought to know which closet it's in, but they don't need to go check on it.
There you go.
Well, let me comment on something. You said running game now, and I happen to have Pacheco in one of my leagues, and he did have 20 rushes for 115 yards and a pretty long touchdown last week. I mean, and apparently he was playing in his old college home stadium. I mean, he looked good this past week, what I saw.
No, that's true. That's true. You're right. If that continues, I think they're good. But to the week before, McKinnon it was their top scorer, and the week before Pacheco was a little bit off.
It was so a little bit off, no doubt.
There's consistency there, but I that is a great point. I mean, the Rutgers boy came back and really showed out. Good for him. But that's the thing that concerns me is again, they could be a running team, right? And we shouldn't get used to 35-24 or 42-30. Maybe we should get used to 29-23. 26-22. Maybe that's what we should get used to from the Chiefs. If so, that's fine. I'm glad I didn't take Patrick Mahomes in my fantasy football draft. But but that's okay. They're still winning. And to the point we made earlier, I think that's what makes Andy Reid such a great coach is he seems to make these types of adjustments.
Agreed.
But we'll see. But we'll see.
I got a question, and this is like a football philosophy question. So you talked about Pacheco having a big one that might have brought his numbers up. I don't know the exact stats for him, but this is not specifically about him. Would you rather have somebody that can get you, 4 yards a carry pretty much every carry, or would you rather have an Adrian Peterson that's going to get you, a few 80-yard runs a week? Maybe not a few a week, but break off these big runs pretty regularly. It seems like those guys are often on losing teams, like a Barry Sanders, for example. I would almost rather not have that big breaking, the breaking.
I'm never
going to
turn down Adrian Peterson in my backfield.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying breaking run that a lot of these running backs can get, these ones that we think of as all-time greats, seem to be, because then you don't have to worry about the run too much. It's only going to be two plays a game that you really have to stress about it. And they're going to go ahead and score on those. Props. But
well, I think it's interesting you brought up Barry Sanders and Adrian Peterson, because I think Barry Sanders, well, first let me say Adrian Peterson's a guy that'll get you 4 yards of carry and break an 80-yard run every now and then. He was different. Now, Barry Sanders, one of my favorite guys to watch, he would get you 0 yards, minus one, maybe two, then 80.
Would you rather have Emmitt Smith over a Barry Sanders, I guess, is maybe the best way to answer
that question. Yes, I would, to win games, because Emmitt Smith's
going to get you. There's an
argument
if you swap those two players and teams they played for. If you just flipped them completely and Barry was on those Dallas Cowboys.
Sure. Well, and a lot of that's going to be offensive line as well. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
Barry was about as gifted a runner as I've ever seen. Mm. Ever.
LJ, I don't think you want necessarily a guy who's always trying. So I think the hope
Marion
is you
Barber,
get a guy like
that. Is that maybe what you're referring to?
Sure. I'm just saying I think generally I would like a guy that I can depend on to get me 3.5 yards a carry, more than I'd like a guy that can break off a 96 in any given week.
Well, and that's why I think you it's a style of running. I think you teach them where you don't necessarily always, because some running backs, I think it's why like a Felix Jones didn't work out as well because he was always trying to pop the big one. Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to talk to him. Sometimes the big one's not there. Put your head down and get 3 yards. Put your head down and get 2 yards because you will get the big one. Don't try to make the big one happen every play. Mm-hmm. And that's why I really like Pacheco. I think Pacheco is a great fit because I think
he runs hard.
He does that a lot. But if he gets that hole, like he busted off that 48-yarder on Sunday night, I think he can do a little bit of both. Tony, you looked like you had something.
Everybody is to answer LJ's question directly. Everybody wants the running back that can carry it 20 times a game and carry it again next week.
Yeah.
And next week and next week. Normally those guys are going to get you 100 to 120 yards a game. If they can do that, great. And I think Lyft just wanted the opportunity to say Marion Barber. So I think
I love me some Marion Barber.
Marion Barber's going to get you 4 yards. Yeah. I mean, but he was never going to break one. Yeah.
It's like you don't get the opportunity to say that in a sentence very often. And so he was going to take that opportunity. But no, that's me. 20, it's carries, right? That's what made Barry Sanders great. That's what made Adrian Peterson great. That's what made Emmitt Smith great. Is you could hand the ball off, and at some point in time, he's going to get you that yardage.
So you want somebody that can get a lot of carries. You want somebody with strong knees and a thick head.
Yeah, absolutely. Earl the Pearl. Mm-hmm.
Looking through some other scores here, Eagles narrowly beat the Commanders, took a 54-yard field goal in OT. Is it a little worrisome that the Commanders hung around, Tony? The Eagles are still top class.
NFC East game.
Yeah.
And if Sam Howell doesn't give up the ball, that's a decent offense.
I do think the Commanders, I think they're going to end up being fringe playoff or maybe miss the playoffs closely, but they got enough talent where they're going to beat good teams throughout the year. I mean, they're not consistently, but they're going to give good teams a run for their money because Howell can move it. Those receivers can play. Brian Robinson looks really solid. And then they got a hell of a defensive line. I mean, they're not an untalented team. So I tend to agree there with the Eagles. I do think still, even though their offense, like Hurts did throw 319, at times I worry a little of the offense, but I just think talent-wise, their defense is great. It looks like they found a running back with Swift, and I trust Hurts to at least maybe not get to that Mahomes level, those top three or four guys, but Hurts will get you to a very adequate level that they can win with, and I assume they're in it towards the end of the year. Let's see. What other games do we
Chargers, have? Chargers, they squeaked out another win. Are we still coming for Staley's head? Or
man, he should have. He did it again.
He did it again.
didn't tell me.
They were so one. That game should not have been the Raiders.
This was the only game on their schedule so far where I thought this is going to be a blowout, and it wasn't. So
the Raiders were awful for three quarters, and they had a guy in there named Aiden O'Connell, who I didn't know he existed until all of a sudden he was starting for the Raiders. And he was wearing number 4. And I just feel like there should be some rule. If like the other team had a starting quarterback for a long time wearing that number, it's tough when another guy, cause all of a sudden my brain was playing tricks. I was like, Derek Carr
out there. Yeah.
It threw my brain off for a second, but regardless, the game was a 2-possession game for like the whole time. And the Raiders were terrible. They gave up. Was it 6 sacks to Khalil Mack? I think it was 6 or 7.
I think so.
To be fair, you don't give up anything to Khalil Mack. He takes it.
But what I'm saying, so he was just wrecking the offense, and they couldn't do anything. And the Chargers kept letting him hang around. And then you got 24-17, and the Chargers, what do? They do what Brandon Staley can't help himself, and he goes for it on 4th and 1 or so around like the midfield area. Punt it and let Aiden O'Connell, whoever this is, drive. If you're up 7, let him. Can he drive the distance on your defense? Let him do it.
Raiders fans are calling him AOC, by the way, and I'm like politically minded and I cannot keep up with it.
And even worse to me, LJ, they choose to go for it and they do a quarterback sneak. Their franchise quarterback may have had a broken, I don't know what he did with his hand, but his left hand was unusable. He was gutting it out because he's just a
warrior. Is he a Roethlisberger? Because he's always got a broken hand, right?
He's not a Roethlisberger. Do not put that on Justin Herbert. I love Justin Herbert.
He's a Charger.
I will not have that standard. But what? And then you scramble with he has a broken hand. You're like, go for a sneak. Go dive in there with all the 800, like 300 pounders and see what can happen.
Yeah.
And I just get Justin Herbert an adequate coach. Please, please get that man a coach because he's so good. But they won.
Yeah, they won. Two things. I don't know that you should ever start a quarterback named Aiden. And two.
Well, wait, because that's like the fair. Male name now. So the new generation. Yeah we're going to have a lot of Aidens. Aiden's, Braden's.
I think so. Brandon Staley, I don't know Brandon Staley. I don't know what he's like off the field, but here's my imagination when Brandon Staley gets home. I don't know if you guys have watched the Ten Commandments, but there's a scene from the Ten Commandments.
With Charlton Heston, you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, the Ten Commandments. It's on every April.
Okay.
So here's the scene I want you to imagine. This is Brandon Staley walking home, coming in the every night. And I'm assuming he's me. If he's not, he's got a partner, whatever, right? But he walks in the door and he goes and he sits in his chair. There's a scene in the Ten Commandments where Ramses comes in and sits down and Nefertiti goes, Moses just beat the shit out of you. Where's his head? Bring me Moses' head, motherfucker. I mean, that's what she's saying. So she's just baiting him. And Brandon stays like, what do you want me to do? I'm doing the best I can. I want you to bring me his head. So what does he do? He goes out the next week and says, well, by God, I said I could do 4th-and-1. I'm going to do it again. So that's how I picture it in my head is he's going home and he sits in his easy chair, his lazy boy, and there's somebody over there to like, what did you do this week? You didn't do nothing. You missed 4th-and-1. You can't get 4th-and-1. You can't get... I'll show you, bitch. I'll get 4th-and-1. And then he goes and does it again.
So you're calling him Yul Brynner.
Yeah, Yul Brynner from 1956. What a reference, just to be clear.
That's what's going on.
Yul Brynner.
He's being baited. He's being baited and having to go for 4th-and-1.
And Baxter's yelling at him every time he comes home.
Yeah. We got to put a picture up of Yul Brynner. I mean, he was an interesting cat.
Unbelievable.
Pops, I'm not entirely sure what just happened for the last 2.5 minutes of the podcast.
Well, this movie is older than anyone.
It was entertaining, regardless. To be clear, I'm not exactly sure.
Where's your Moses now,
LJ? I know this will really bother you to hear, but it seems like there's some trouble going on in Las Vegas with the Raiders.
Oh yeah, like, you got Josh McDaniels. He's such a great coach. I hope he gets an extension.
Josh Jacobs recently said, "I'm tired of losing. I'm just keeping it 100. I'm tired of fucking losing." And then Davante Adams said, I don't got time to wait around. And then their cornerback, Marcus Peters, is liking stuff on Instagram and Twitter that says, fire Josh McDaniels.
I'm just saying, give him one more year. Give him one more year. Come on, give him time. He'll get there.
So you just need to go and show like a couple highlight reels of when he was at the Patriots and then show like that first 5-0 start with the Broncos and be like, don't worry about the rest. But look how good he was in these.
Let him finish out Gruden's contract. And we'll be good to go.
It really reminded me, I guess it's just what the Chargers are going to do every week, but it reminded me a lot of the Vikings game last week where it's like, both teams are like, no, you son of a bitch, I can make a stupider play call. I can do something dumber. You wait.
And they just wait. Look at this.
Oh, gosh.
Hold my beer.
So is Baker a guy? Is Baker Mayfield a guy?
He's a player, he's a player.
He seems to be a winner. He really does seem to be a winner.
He's
today.
My winner of the week. I've got two.
When I think guys like playing with him, the GM just recently did a podcast. I think it was with Schrager, Peter Schrager on Good Morning Football, and I saw the clip on Twitter. But they were asking about Baker Mayfield. He goes, "Man, he's just a dude. Like you could tell as soon as he gets in here, guys like him. People like playing with him. He took all the." Offensive lineman with him to something. He took the receivers he took them on a trip so they could practice.
He goes to dive bars with Mike Evans. I mean,
yeah, like he just was like, we know, like, and he was kind of beating around the bush, but it really came across as no one's over here calling Baker Mayfield a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. But it just you want to go to war with him, like you enjoy playing with him, and he plays hard, and he does play.
That's
hard.
A good quarterback to have. Can't deny that's a good quarterback that. To have. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they're sitting here 3-1. In the lead of the NFC South, and I wouldn't be shocked if they won the NFC South. I mean, I could see it. Mike Evans somehow, I think he's going to do it again, get 1,000 yards, and I don't know how that guy just doesn't age. Doing it, yeah. I guess he has.
He doesn't play this week. Injury. He went out last week with a hamstring.
He's got what dad. Him, but. He's got what Pops hates in a 30-year-old receiver, and that's a slightly pulled hammy. So,
yeah.
Any other winners or losers? I got one. Is Christian McCaffrey? Up like MVP?
If he keeps doing this, yes.
Did you see somebody asked, I think, Kyle Shanahan, could you imagine a world where y'all didn't land Christian McCaffrey? And he was like, do not say that. Stop. We will not entertain that
concept. Don't you say that. Don't you put that on me, Ricky
Don't
Bobby.
Don't you put that magic on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put
that on me. Yeah, I think you do. Four touchdowns in that game is ridiculous.
Five.
And he just five.
Jeez.
Ridiculous.
Sorry, no four. Oh, okay.
I thought it was three rushing, one receiving, wasn't
yeah.
it?
I thought he had two receiving, but he had 100 yards. Had
five.
But he had 100 yards rushing, three touchdowns, seven catches for 70 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he should have had five. Well, anyway, that definitely top of the MVP list at this point in time. Definitely a winner of the week. Him and Baker.
Am I crazy? I still, you don't have to answer that first part, but I still don't feel like I fully, like, Brock Purdy's okay, but maybe I'm just being a hater, but it feels like it's totally like just a system of like, he had one deep throw, he threw to Brandon Ayuk in a double coverage. He overthrew it. It should have been a pick, and Brandon Ayuk just made a beautiful catch to pick up like 45 yards. And I feel like that happens a few times a week where I'm like, that was dangerous. But then, oh yeah, you do have two great receivers and a great tight end and possibly the best running back in football. Like, and
so you're,
the best
you're hating on a guy that has won like the only 11 games.
Every game that he's finished, he's won.
Yeah.
I mean he's definitely Mr. Relevant. The question is he Mr. Great? But he's Mr. Relevant now, for sure.
Yeah.
And we kind of mentioned at one point, but I want to give another.
I'm not against him.
I kind of was calling the.
Well, it reminds me of
Cardinals coach
Metropolis, the movie from 1931.
Citizen Kane.
The sled.
Fair enough.
Well, spoiler alerts.
Let's see. Was there anything else we want to get on to some picks for next week? Is there any other winners or losers someone wanted to mention?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Prestige Worldwide, long-time listener. Winner of the
long-time
week.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah. Winner of the week's the Bears. Played great, still lost. Number one pick. They're right.
Is Eberflus a genius? Is he just tanking again, but doing it like competitively? Competitive tanking?
He could do it better than that.
Nobody in Chicago. Actually, I took a picture of this. Nobody in Chicago buys that was a well won loss. It says on the headline of the Chicago Sun-Times, Eberflus struggles against the horrible Broncos, is what it says. So, nobody's happy with this.
Well, you know what we get this week.
What
right?
do we get?
A rematch from the Thursday night showdown last year where the Commanders beat the Bears 12-7, where we got to see four field goals win a game for a team. It was probably the ugliest game I've ever seen, and we're running
Let's
it back.
Go.
Somehow the NFL was like, that was so fun last year on Thursday Night Football. Al Michaels, you're going to call it again. You're going to do it again. So that's what
people
we
are
going to
be watching
Thursday.
Middle school football instead.
Well, they'll probably enjoy themselves more.
Many yards, a little jig again.
More than Chase Claypool, probably.
Well, Chase Claypool he might mess around and not see a football field again. Now we go to the part of the week or the episode where we look ahead to week 5 and we try to give you some winners. We've done it 2 weeks now. 2 weeks ago, we unfortunately could not give you a winner. All four of us were here. We gave our picks and it's a parlay. So all four of them have to hit to win. They did not. Last week we were missing one person. Mm-hmm. That person will remain nameless. So we made 3 picks instead of 4 and we did win. The parlay won pretty handily. I believe it was Cowboys, Ravens and Bills who all won by, I think, 3 or 4 plus scores. So great job by the podcast. Yep, yep. I don't remember who all was here last week, but great job by the podcast.
Wow.
So this week.
Wow.
Come at him hard.
So this week, where are we going? Who wants to start things off? Who's got a winner for us?
I got one.
Pops, you got?
Pops, let Pops go. He hadn't gone
in
2 weeks.
Well, I'll go because
you were the one that was in here last game.
The last time I made a pick, it won, by the way. It might have been the only
one. The 4, yeah, true.
It was the one of the 4 that picked, but that hit. All right, I'm going to take, I've got several here, but my number one one is.
Oh, he's got several winners.
I've got Houston going to Atlanta, getting 1.5. Houston looks frisky to me, and I don't think there'll be a letdown. I really don't think there's going to be a letdown after last week. I think they've got a good coach. I don't think Atlanta is good. I mean, what's going to happen with Kyle Pitts, by the way? Somebody, please throw the ball to that guy. But at any rate, give me Houston and give me a point and a half. I think they're going to win it outright. But I'll
I got
Houston
you a plus two right now.
Yeah,
they've given you the hook.
I'll take two. All right. Houston plus two.
All right, tell them what you got.
Jets plus 1.5.
Brother,
what I got? What's going at the
Broncos. Oh, it's the Hackett Bowl.
Oh, Lord.
That game kind of lost its luster after how the Broncos
What are they getting? What are the Jets getting?
1.5. Jets plus 1.5.
Yeah, the Jets showed me some guts this past weekend. Zach Wilson may have crossed over to finally being acceptable. And I think they're going out there. Yeah, and I think they're going to have his back. He really played tough, should have won the ball game. And so I think they go out there plus 1.5. I think I'd take a money line if you want to, but take the points and in case.
We're on a parlay. We're trying to cash money out for the people. But Tony's saying if you're feeling frisky, check out that money line. And it sounded like, honestly, it sounded like Pops was kind of saying the same thing. If you're feeling frisky, I think you think the Texans are just going to win.
I think the Texans are going to win outright. I do.
But for the parlay right now, we're taking the points on both. LJ, you got to pick.
Y'all are going to like this.
Uh-oh.
So the Jaguars, I've got plus 5.5 against the Bills.
Oh, no.
And the defensive Josh Allen has offensive Josh Allen's number. They're playing a home game in London, which is pretty standardly a win for them. I like the Jaguars to cover the spread. It's going to be a close game. The Bills win it, but it's going to be a close game.
We spend 15 minutes on this podcast talking about how the best team maybe in the NFL is the Bills. And LJ's like,
I'm zigging Josh when y'all Allen zag, is going to get sacked a couple of times. He's going to get nervous, and he's going to throw a couple picks.
Normally, I would say that, you know what, I like that because I think the Bills probably win by like 3. So 5.5 is a lot. However, the Jacksonville Jaguars have spent the whole damn week in the UK and Europe, and there's just no telling what
they've had way too
doing.
Much fish and chips. They're going to be weighed down.
I'm a little concerned about that.
I'm going to say, Kevin, I don't know your pick yet, but I say we go with the 3-game parlay again.
Told you wouldn't like it. I told you. I told you.
Oh man, Lyft's firing on all cylinders.
Not wrong.
Tonight.
If you're a listener, by the way, Lyft's not wrong. I think it's worth taking. But
I like it. I like
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
My pick for this week, and I think LJ will be able to get behind this one. I'm going to Monday Night Football. The Packers are only a 0.5-point favorite over a Josh McDaniels coach team.
Yeah.
And the Packers are coming off a long week where they kind of got embarrassed by their division rival at home. Give me the Packers. I think they win by
good
a lot.
Good Lord.
Give me the Packers.
You said it was a Monday night game. I think it was a tongue slip. And then I looked at what the actual – oh, yeah, that is Monday night. Okay, so next – never mind.
I was about to say.
Never mind. I was looking at – this website I was looking at showed the Broncos Chiefs as the Monday night game, but it was just – I misread it.
Oh, that'd be –
that can never be a Monday night game. That.
Is it just me, or does a tongue slip sound different than a slip of the tongue? They sound like two different things to me. I don't know.
I don't want to go any further into this.
We don't need to talk about your travels, it turns out.
That parlay, for what it's out there, that parlay, we got Texans plus 2, Jets plus 1.5,
Jags
plus 5.5 against the Bills, and Packers minus 0.5 point. All four of those together is plus 1,196. So $10 wins you 129. Not bad at all there.
The Packers are
you
minus a half.
You can take out one of the teams if you want.
Got a bonus. I got a bonus.
Did you say
for
the Packers are minus a half? I thought it was
minus
one
a half. I've got a minus
a
one on point. Mine. So
minus a half? They give
we can go
half.
Minus yeah. one.
Minus one. Hey, okay. I got a bonus
I think
for
either
you.
Either way, that's a win.
I got a bonus. Prestige Worldwide puts in the Colts plus 2. So if there's any listeners out there that wants to go to 5.
Or if you want
to
do it, if you want to do a 4 like but with only the 2. Smart 4, that's totally reasonable too.
I'm sure Indy's getting 2.5, by the way. But
Indy, I've got 1.5.
Even better.
Okay. Well, we'll put down plus 2.
I'll hit them plus 2 with a third. Yeah.
I guess it depends on where you go. Depends on where you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, we can still do a 4-game parlay. All right.
speaking of, LJ said where you depends where you go. You have been all around. Can you give us a little review of the sphere, or just in general your travels?
Well, real quick, I'm going to throw in a little bone to. I happen to go to Red Rocks in Colorado, and
just
if you have not
across,
seen a concert at Red Rocks in Colorado, put it
hell
on your to do list for sure. And the guy I saw was Tyler Childers. Now, Tyler Childers. he kind of gets up there and sings. That's what he does. He's not the biggest entertainer, if you will, but when he sings, it's just like you know the songs. And he put on a great show. It was a wonderful night. That was great. And then Las Vegas and the Sphere. I was there on the second night. And I'll tell you, one of the most interesting things is, so you walk in there and, you know, there's, anyway, I won't go into that, but you walk into the Sphere and we are literally one row from the top, one row from the very top. And I mean, this is steep. I know I sent you guys, some of you guys, some pictures. It is really a large dip. I think they seat about 18,000 and it's only on one side. But it was so funny sitting up there. And as you walk, as anybody walks in, and I would say that the age, the average age, I was probably the average age there. A lot of people in their 50s, but there were a lot of people older than me. And there were a few younger people, but not, I mean, these people were 30s, you know. That was U2. That was U2. Yes. So U2 opened the Sphere on, I think it was Friday night. We saw them on Saturday night. Un-effing believable venue. You must go. I don't even know what the tickets cost us, but it wasn't enough. I won't say it wasn't enough, but it was. I'm just telling you.
I don't remember how much the Learjet cost either, but.
The whole wall is, the whole building basically is a screen with the highest definition graphics I've ever seen.
It looks insane.
Yeah, it was insane. And I will tell you what.
Just from a picture, it's insane.
Just from a picture, it was insane. And U2, I mean, I've always liked U2, no question about it. And Bono, I think Bono is how it's pronounced, but is obviously the face of that group. They had a stand-in drummer. I think their drummer has had some injury or something, and he was a young guy, excellent drummer. The Edge. The Edge is the shit, y'all. I mean, this guy can play the guitar. He can play the keyboards, and he sings backup. I didn't know who sang backup vocals for Bono, but it's the Edge, and he can sing in that very high soprano falsetto type voice.
Do a little Garfunkel.
I'm telling you, I am a big fan of the Edge. I was blown away with the venue. One other thing, though, as we walked in, so we're sitting up near the top. And I mean, it's like, you might remember this, Tony, Logan's Run. Did you ever watch Logan's Run?
Yeah.
It's like you're walking into that place in Logan's Run where they go, the Renew Festival. Y'all watch Logan's Run. It was so futuristic. They actually had a robot you could ask questions to on where to go. But Tammy said, you know, this is only the second night this venue's been open. How the hell do we get out of here in a hurry?
That's a great question.
That was a great question. So I did go outside and I looked and I actually talked to a security guard. I said, hey, man, not that anything's going to go wrong, but how the hell do I get out of here in a hurry? Because we're on the top. If things catch on fire, you know where fire's going, to the top. We're going to need to get down. And there were some manual steps, but he goes, you really need to hope the escalators are working, because if you have to go from where we're on floor 7, I guess, of this thing, from like 7 to 4, it was a bunch of steps. He said, I'm just telling you,
if we catch on fire, you better get right with God. That's your best move.
Yeah. Well, just, it was worrisome because it was the second night this venue's ever been open.
That's fair.
If I'm just telling you, the Sphere in Las Vegas is a must see. You must go and see.
You heard it here first.
I wonder what shows are there for the Super Bowl. Like, they probably have the Super Bowl's in Vegas this year. They got to have some like crazy.
Well, I think
shows.
U2 was doing a 20 show set there to open the thing, and they were excellent. They really did a good job.
I've always had a little thing against U2.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that, you know, you could tell the generation's probably going to be a little older than us, because we've always been resentful that they put that album on our iPhones without asking us first.
Without my consent.
Which album?
And then, it was whatever came out in like 2008 or something.
To this day, if you ever plug your phone up to a car, like a CarPlay, for whatever reason, iPhone goes straight to it, and it played all the time. Like it would. And I just don't know that much. I respect U2; they're fine, but I've never like dove into the discography of U2. So I'm always like, I'm not trying to listen to U2. I was going to go.
I'll say specifically to what Dad was saying, the 100% agreement. Bono, don't give a shit about, but the Edge is the real deal for sure. He is Unbelievable.
I thought the edge was the heart and soul of that man. I really did.
So, Liv, this is just for you, but have you seen the David Letterman interview with U2?
No, I haven't.
You need to look that up. It's okay. Come on, if you're a U2 David fan Letterman. Now, you need to look at that David Letterman. I forget which streaming service it's on, but he did a specific thing with U2 and
probably Netflix thing because he did a thing with Netflix.
Yeah, and yeah, it's not that. And now for my next guest, it was something different. I think he went to their hometown. But anyway, it's good. But yeah, Octung, baby. Did they play anything else other than the album? Did they just get rid of the album?
They took a break because they did the first side of the album, if you will, which is the songs you know, Mysterious Ways, One, there's another, The End of the World. And then they took a break and they sang a little off the Joshua Tree, which was excellent. Streets Have No Name, With or Without You. And then Bono said, okay, it's time to wake the baby. And so they did the second side of Octane Baby and did every song. It was excellent. Probably played, I'm guessing, about 2 hours.
Cool.
But it was hard to keep up with time.
Any opening act at all?
Okay. If there was one thing I can say negative, they had some Australian DJ guy that was down there in this piece of crap little neon car trying to get the crowd fired up, and it was weak, man. It was just a DJ that was walking around. You couldn't even see him in the crowd. And yeah, the opening act sucked.
Polly, the PSM Lovejoy?
May have been, whatever. The opening act stunk. U2 was.
Yeah, they DJ music from inside a neon Trabant 601 that moves around the general admission.
That sounds really cool if you're not in the sphere. awesome. By the way, I looked up.
I'm glad you enjoyed it
during the Super Bowl. What they're going to have there, and what they'll have probably up until there, is an immersive experience called Postcards from Earth, which is a Darren Aronofsky directed experience. Probably really cool, but also probably not exactly like you want to see when concerts pop up there. So,
Hey,
Liv, you think it would be good to go see The Wall?
Oh my gosh! You know that. There are things, Tony, that they sell in Las Vegas that they don't sell in some other states.
My question was going to be, Pops.
Oh my God! What if someone altered sense of mind
in that place with the screens doing all that?
You want to get some lower to the ground seats, probably, but
what do you think?
Talk about tripping.
The over under for The Wall playing in the Sphere, is it plus or minus 6 months? It's got to play at some point.
It's got to play there.
It's got to play. Okay.
Yeah, I would say under. I'd take the under on that. That would be amazing. I may go whenever they have it. I may fly out there for the night.
I hope they call me to work on it.
Yeah, I hope they do too, Al.
It sounds like we can confirm our Christmas was fun.
Yeah,
so. Your Christmas was
that's
great.
That's great.
You've never had a better one, I tell you.
Cool, I'll remember that. I'll remember that in a few months, for sure.
I hope you enjoy this B-dub. Gift certificate and Merry Christmas.
All right, let's wrap things up. Tony, you know where we're going. What is Uncle Tony drinking on tonight?
I am drinking tonight a Uncle Tony exclusive. So I don't know if you guys ever get Waterloo sparkling waters.
Yeah.
But Waterloo has come out with a spiced apple sparkling water. And I thought, boy, this tastes really good. I wonder what alcohol I could put with it. Which is where my mind goes just about everything that I drink that's non-alcoholic. So so tonight I made what I'm calling Uncle Tony's burnt apple. And so what this is it's Jefferson whiskey, three parts Jefferson whiskey, one part sweet vermouth, and then six parts spiced spiced apple Waterloo sparkling water with a slice of lime. And let me tell you, this is a great fall drink, and it just turned cool here today. Had a lot of rain. It's finally getting to be fall. This is an awesome drink. I will be drinking it again. And I forgot just a little bit of Velvet for Learnum just to spice it up a little bit. The Uncle Tony's burnt apple.
No,
awesome.
Noted.
Uncle Tony exclusive.
It is nice.
You know, Tone, I think I have plans for the Sunday night game, the Cowboys 49ers, but I was thinking about maybe stopping by. I'm here in Little Rock on Sunday. Think about stopping by Tsukasa if you're home. Oh, no.
You missed St. Louis this weekend, my friend.
Well, then I might stop by anyway.
Stop by anyway. I'll give you the code. Call me. I'll give you the code. I'll tell you where the spice apple is and where the whiskey is. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Pops, did you also have a drink tonight, or I wasn't sure if
I just made a dirty martini, which I mean, I guess that's what it is. It's vodka, it's a couple of olives, and some olive juice.
It's a liquid martini.
It's delish. Yeah.
That, sir, is a dirty martini.
It's dirty martini. Yeah. It's delish.
All right. Well, that will do it for this week's episode. We'll be back.
I just wanted to throw out there, I watched the Toy Story version of the London game. Did any of y'all catch that?
Not.
I saw some
highlights. It was actually kind of fun, if I'm going to be honest with you. It was a little glitchy. I thought it was wild that Booger McFarland.
It's still incredible that they can do that.
I thought it was
wild
that Booger McFarland brought up ayahuasca on the air during a children's show. But
ayahuasca.
But the technology behind it is insane. And like, it was like, I'd probably like 2 minutes off of the live football game, which is, it's just wild that you can do that. And then like, if you see some of the highlights of like that Trevor Lawrence run, I mean, it is damn close. Like, it's wild.
For the people out there, L, so they had like a chip in everyone's shoulder pads, I think. And then, so the broadcast that LJ is talking about was a little behind, and it looks like a virtual broadcast, but the players are like doing the same, like they're running. It all is happening the same way it's happening on the field. I mean, like I was just saying, there's a little bit of glitchy.
Yeah, there was some stuff where like someone would move the wrong way and then they would just like track to the other. It looked like a really laggy game of Madden in a lot of moments, but like incredible, like genuinely incredible. They could pull that off and then like air it live. It's wild. It was really cool.
So this is the question then. Toy Story or Big City Greens? Which one is better?
Toy Story.
Yeah,
Toy Story? Okay. 100%. All right.
No, there you go.
No doubt. Because last year was the Big City Greens thing, right? So I was just wondering.
Toy Story.
100%. Which one? Toy Story. 100%. Okay.
I will, if you're going to go look up a play, there's a play in that game where Bijan Robinson shakes a Jaguar so bad. Like, I mean, he really breaks his ankles. And then it's pretty awesome to see it in the Toy Story. They just look so funny. You can see them side by side on, like, on X. I'm sorry, not Twitter. and it looks pretty funny. It's cool. All right. That does it for this week. We'll be back next week to break down what the action is. And I'm thinking we're going to cash another parlay this week. I mean, if you're feeling frisky, throw five.
We heard four guaranteed wins.
All right, guys. Peace out.
Peace.
Boy, as a newsman, you've got to be tired of doing that. X posted on X, formerly known as Twitter. God, every time I see that, I laugh. I just, God, Elon.
Do they have to say that? Do they have to say X?
No, but if you call it Twitter, you're technically wrong. And so you want to call it X, but then a lot of your user base is not going to think of X as anything. So
it's just dumb.
You know what freaks me out? You know what freaks me out? It is the damn ZZ Top's song, Living on the X. I'm living on the edge. And that's true. Crazy.
You got the internet, though.
Crazy times we're living.
Think about that.
There's a parting shot for you.